We're continuing the shir in Shvachi Aran, the story of Rabbein Azal's trip to Eretz Yisrael. We were in the middle of discussing that Rabbein Azal had spent a Shabbos with Rabbi Avram Kalisker, who was one of the great tzaddikim who had immigrated to Eretz Yisrael and was living at the time in the city of Tveria. After that Shabbos, on Sunday, Rabbi Avram Kalisker came to the place where Rabbein Azal was staying, and they spoke for a while together. And then a day or two later, Rabbein Azal became ill, and he sent a pidyon to Rabbi Avram Kalisker. A pidyon is a sum of money that a person gives over to a tzaddik as a form of tzedakah, specifically asking the tzaddik to remove from him a certain judgment, a decree from Hashem that's causing either physical illness or any other type of major problem, a crisis. The pidyon is a sum of tzedakah that's given for the tzaddik to use as he understands, and for the tzaddik to be mispalel on behalf of the person. And each and every single day, Rabbi Avram Kalisker came to visit Rabbein Azal during this illness. After that, there was a story, a famous story, about an informer. This informer was a person who had come from Chutz Loretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael, and came to Eretz Yisrael and worked as an informer by the Turkish Sultan, or the Turkish leader at the time. And he caused major, major problems and trouble for the Jews who were living in Tveria at the time. And he actually caused some of the leaders of the city to be put into prison for 9 weeks. Then some of the Sephardim that were living there at the time approached this Turkish leader, the Sultan, and they gave him a huge sum of money to redeem these leaders from prison. And they got out. Then the people went and grabbed this informer and wanted to strangle him to death. So they actually started strangling him at one point, and he made believe as if he was dead. So they left him, not knowing that he was not yet dead. And sure enough, he got up, and he went again and informed on them to this Turkish Sultan, to the point where the Sultan gave him control over the city, put him in charge. And this time, this informer came back to the city with great honor, with Turkish soldiers with him, as if he's in charge of the city. And immediately, everybody, all the men in the city, the Jewish men, ran away from the city of Tveria to escape his wrath. And the only ones that were left were the women and small children, and people were crying terribly. They were terrified of what this person's going to do. Rabbein Azal also wanted to run to leave the city of Tveria, but he couldn't because he was so weak from his illness. And Rabbein Azal had actually started leaving the city, but ended up being forced to come back. Keep in mind, this is in the 1700s. Leaving means leaving on foot, or leaving with a horse, or a donkey, a mule, something like that. And this was actually all from Hashem, because Rabbein Azal was the one who was privileged to enable all the people to come back to the city. Because what happened was, this informer made himself tiny in front of Rabbein Azal. He was mevatel himself, he nullified himself completely. And he went to Rabbein Azal, and Rav Nosson Zal writes, the manner in which Rabbein Azal conducted himself with this informer, you could write books about it, how shrewd and how careful Rabbein Azal was in dealing with him in order to be able to control him. And sure enough, this person, the informer, told the person with Rabbein Azal that was traveling with him that he should make an announcement that everyone can come back to the city. And sure enough, they did. All the men who had run away returned to the city. Now, Rabbein Azal, in speaking to this informer, Rabbein Azal said to him, somebody of your caliber and somebody in a position like yours, such a position of honor and respect, you should be praying for the Jewish people. You should be praying for all the Jews that are suffering. You're a leader. You're like a Jewish leader. And you should be a righteous person and a humble person, because this informer was a real phony. He made believe as if he was religious, as if he was a righteous person, when in fact he was totally, his only interest was money and power, and he was willing to give over the Jewish people into the hands of the Turks to be punished, even killed, if he could make money on it. And this informer had started speaking to Rabbein Ezal about chassidus, about ruchnius, spirituality, and Rabbein Ezal made believe as if he had no idea that this guy's a bad person, an informer. He spoke to him as if Rabbein Ezal actually was treating him like a righteous person, a chassid, a tzaddik. And Rabbein Ezal spoke to him with great wisdom and shrewdness. And Rabbein Ezal told him that he should be in the habit of reading Tehillim. And Rabbein Ezal told him at one point, you know how I'll know if you have real humility? If you'll be able to say Tehillim in my house, in front of the young men, and you'll be able to cry, really, really cry during your reading of Tehillim. And sure enough, this is what happened. The informer did this. He came to Rabbein Ezal's house. He started reading Tehillim with tremendous crying, to the point where there were tears visible running down his cheeks. And then the informer became very, very weak. He took ill. And even while all of this was going on, there were guards guarding the entrances to the city of Tveria, looking and watching to see if any mishulachim would come in, any people that had come from outside of Eretz Yisrael, bringing money with them to help the Jews in Israel. Because this was the main thing he was informing to the Turkish Sultan, was about the fact that the Jews are bringing in all kinds of money from Europe, from other countries, and you should be taxing them for, you know, the Turkish Sultan should either confiscate the money or at least tax them for it. However, Hashem helped the Jews, and they were able to conceal this from this informer. And they sent the person who was traveling with Rabbein Ezal, they sent him to Haifa, to the port city from where people would come in, and he took the money from the Mishulachim, the people who had come from outside of Israel bringing money, and brought it to Tveria, and gave it over to Rabbein Ezal, who distributed it to the people it was supposed to go to. Now, when this informer got over his illness, he started saying, I'll show them, I'm still going to punish all the people here, I'll show them who's boss. But his end was that he took ill again and died. And Rabbein Ezal was extremely happy over the fact that he had the schus of protecting the people, getting the men to be able to come back to the city, getting people to come back. And when they returned, there was major celebration. They celebrated with Rabbein Ezal that he succeeded in bringing about the downfall of this informer. While Rabbein Ezal was in Tveria, he visited the grave of his grandfather, his father's father, Reb Nachman Horodenker Zal, who was one of the great close students of the Baal Shem Tov. And then they rented donkeys or mules and traveled to all the different caves of tzaddikim in the area, in the Galil there. When they came to Miron, when they arrived at the kever of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Zal, all the young men that had come with them were all involved in tefillah and learning Zohar HaKodesh over there, as Rabbein Ezal had instructed them. He had obviously spoken to them and told them what to do there in Miron, to read Tehillim, to daven, to learn the Zohar HaKodesh. However, Rabbein Ezal himself, they did not see him saying anything, no learning, no davening. He was just walking around, tremendous happiness. And each time he would go over to the person who was traveling with him, and he said to him, Ashrecha, you're so lucky. You have no idea how fortunate you are to be here with me now in Eretz Yisrael, to be here in Miron. And at night, Rabbein Ezal went from room to room in the place in Miron where Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Zal is buried. There are a number of different rooms. Rabbein Ezal went from room to room looking at the people there and making sure to read the Zohar HaKodesh and to daven, whereas he himself, they did not see him pick up a sefer. He wasn't no Zohar HaKodesh, no Tehillim. He was just walking around the whole time, singing to himself in tremendous simcha until daybreak. As soon as it started getting light, Rabbein Ezal put on talis and tefillin, and he davened for several hours, Rav Nosson Zal writes. From Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Zal, Rabbein Ezal went with the other people to the cave of Hillel, and there Rabbein Ezal recited the two chapters of Tehillim, chapter 33 and 34, which are customary to read over there. And there also Rabbein Ezal looked like he was incredibly happy. From Hillel, they went on to the Kever of Shammai, and there Rabbeinu Zal appeared to be very down, didn't show any happiness, no simcha at all. And Rabbeinu Zal said that he was surprised, he himself was surprised that he felt so down there. But then afterwards he said he has an answer for this, but he wouldn't reveal what the answer is. Why, when it came to the Kever of Shammai, he was not happy and excited as he was in the other places. From there they went on to other caves, and then they came to a tall mountain where near the top of the mountain is the cave of the Tana Rebbe Kruspidoi, who's mentioned in the Zohar HaKadosh. Today, those that visit Miron know also that there is this Myra, this cave of Rebbe Kruspidoi. And the mountain was so steep that you couldn't go up with a donkey or a mule. So Rabbeinu Zal jumped off the donkey and ran up the mountain with this person that was with him. And it was like they were going on their hands and feet. You couldn't even walk or climb. You had to get down and climb up with your hands and feet. And Rabbeinu Zal did this until they came to that cave. They spent some time there and then went on to another cave. They also visited the cave of a yanuka. The word yanuka means a small child, usually 5, 6, 7, 8, around that age, who comes to the world retaining knowledge and faculties that he had from a previous Gilgul. Some of the great tzaddikim, Rav Hamnuna, others, after they passed away, a child was born, and this child, even as a small child, was able to teach Torah to rabbis of the Gemara. They were called yanukas. Usually these yanukas did not live long. They passed away at a young age also. So they came to a cave of such a yanuka who had been buried there. And that cave, all the people were afraid to go inside because it had been rumored that there's a snake in there, a deadly snake in there. People would never go inside that cave. And also there was a tall tree at the entrance to that cave, blocking, sort of making it difficult to get in. Rabbeinu Zal was the first person who went inside. He saw there was no snake in there at all whatsoever. And from that time on, people that visited the Kivrei Tzadikim in that area would all go into the kever of that yanuka. Then they continued to other Kivrei Tzadikim until they returned to Tveria. When they got back to Tveria, here again, now they're up in Miron, Tzfas, Miron, that area, the Galil, going to Kivrei Tzadikim in the Galil. When they got back to Tveria, Rabbeinu Zal instructed the person traveling with him to go to Haifa and hire a boat, you know, reserve places on a boat, to go back home, to start heading back home. When they got back to Tveria, however, the great tzaddik, Rabbi Yaakov Shamshon Mishapetovka, also one of the students of the Mizritcha Magid, from the students of the Baal Shem Tov, arrived, together with other messengers from Chutz Laretz, who were bringing back monies to assist the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. And then there was an incident that took place where the people were afraid to accept money. They were afraid that informer could inform on them, get them thrown into prison, everything. So they were forced to give over, all the monies were given over to the person who was traveling with Rabbeinu Zal. And then he was forced to go to Tveria with this money. And when he got to Tveria, Rabbeinu Zal told him, obviously Hashem wants us to stay in Eretz Yisrael a little bit longer. As he had gone to try to rent places on a boat. Just then the Shepetovka arrived and these monies arrived and there was nobody else to bring it back and to distribute it. So Rabbeinu Zal said, obviously Hashem wants us to be here a little longer. And Rabbeinu Zal said to the person with him to go hire mules or donkeys. We're going to go to visit Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh. When the tzaddik, Rav Avram Kalisker, heard about this, that Rabbeinu Zal was planning on going to Yerushalayim, he pleaded with him not to go. And Rabbeinu Zal ended up not going to Yerushalayim. Now, when this tzaddik, the Shepetovker, arrived in Tveria, he made a banquet, like a banquet feast at night for Rabbeinu Zal. In other words, where he was staying, he prepared a whole major banquet in honor of Rabbeinu Zal and showed him tremendous love. And they spoke together for a while and nobody knew, nobody was there, a private conference between the two of them. And Rabbeinu Zal succeeded in making peace between the Shepetovka and the Kalisker. Rabbi Avram Kalisker, who we said was living in Eretz Yisrael at the time already, was the leading tzaddik who all the Ashkenazic Jews, the Hasid, looked up to in Eretz Yisrael at the time. There had been some kind of a difference, a machloikis, between him and Rabbi Yaakov Shamshon Shepetovka, and Rabbeinu Zal succeeded in bringing about peace between the two of them. A short while later, a plague broke out in Tveria, and Rabbeinu Zal was forced to flee from where he was staying to a different location, and then the plague arrived there also, and they were forced to run from the city of Tveria, and they were in tremendous danger at the time, because the gate, the wall around the city was locked, and they were forced to try to go through a cave that would lead to a place in the wall right near the Kinneret. And Rabbeinu Zal wanted to climb the wall and come down on the other side, thinking that on the other side there was still land that they could run out of the city and get to the port. They didn't realize that on the other side of the wall, the part of the wall that they were up to, when he got to the top and started going down the other side, he saw suddenly that the Kinneret was under him. And Rabbeinu Zal was hanging by his fingers from the wall, already on the other side, barely hanging on, and there's no land to jump onto. There's the sea under him, the Yam HaKinneret. And Rabbeinu Zal was mamish in tremendous danger at the time, and he said he looked up to Hashem. There wasn't even time to say a tefillah, just looking up to Hashem, begging. And Rabbeinu Zal, if I'm not mistaken, said that this was one of the times in his life that he used Zchus Avos to save him, and somehow was saved. It's not written how, but somehow he was saved. And then they ran to the city of Tzfas and spent some time there until they heard that Napoleon was approaching, the French army was approaching Akko and was about to enter into Eretz Yisrael for a major confrontation between the French and the Turks at that time. We continue the shiur in Shvoche Horan, the story of Rabbeinu Zal's trip to Eretz Yisrael, paragraph Chaf, 20. The previous paragraph finished where Rabbeinu Zal heard that Napoleon was going to be arriving very shortly in Akko, the port of Eretz Yisrael. And as soon as Rabbeinu Zal heard that, he understood that that was going to be the place of confrontation between the French and the Turks. And that would make it very complicated leaving Eretz Yisrael and getting back home. So Rabbeinu Zal immediately sent a special messenger to Akko, to higher places on a ship, from Regaz. In Hebrew it's Regaz. It's called Ragusa, which is somewhere in southern Sicily, whereby that country at that time was at peace with both the French and the Turks. And at a time like this of war, especially war at sea, the English were known that if they confronted a ship that was not from a neutral nation, they would capture the people and conscript them, put them into the army. So Rabbeinu Zal was very, very concerned about making sure to get onto a boat that had a neutral flag, so that number one, neither side would fire on them, would shoot at them, or take them into captivity, chas v'shalom. They were able to get places on such a boat. When Rabbi Avram Kalisker from Tveria heard that Rabbeinu Zal was leaving, he immediately sent a messenger to him with a personal letter from Rabbi Avram Zal, and also a letter from a more general letter. However, Rabbeinu Zal was moving very quickly and was not willing to wait for anything. The Shepetovka, Rabbi Yaakov Shamshon Shepetovka, who had arrived in Tveria, we spoke about him earlier, also wanted to send a letter, but Rabbeinu Zal couldn't wait for it. And he left on Erev Shabbos, Friday, Parsha Zohar. They traveled all night until 3 hours before Shabbos, when they arrived at the entrance to Akko, and they sent an agent to get them onto the boat. Rabbeinu Zal wanted to get onto the boat even before Shabbos. The agent returned and said impossible to take them right now, because the boat that he had intended is already full, packed with people, more than the boat can handle even. So Rabbeinu Zal was forced to go into the city of Akko and spend Shabbos Parsha Zohar there. They went to a wealthy person there, for whom Rabbi Avram Kalisker had given them a letter to give to this person, and they spend Shabbos by him in Akko. Rav Nosson Zal writes that they were in tremendous fear over there because there were about 15,000 Turkish soldiers in the city of Akko at the time, with all of their gear, cannons, everything, ready for war. And they locked the entrance to the city, and on Shabbos morning, during the time of in middle of davening, the agent came to them and said that there are no more neutral boats available, cannot get you onto a neutral boat from that country, from Regaza. The only boat I can get you onto is a Turkish merchant ship which is traveling from Israel to Istanbul with merchandise. Even though they were afraid of the danger of the soldiers that were there at the time, the Turkish soldiers and everything, and again, that were all the boats that were out at sea that could easily take them into captivity, but still Rabbeinu Zal said it was better, he felt it was better to get out of town, to leave Akko, than to stay there, because they heard that in 2 or 3 days, war is going to be breaking out in Akko. So therefore, the agent advised them to buy tickets on that boat, the Turkish merchandise boat, and even to purchase it on Shabbos because of the Pikuach Nefesh. Rabbeinu Zal agreed, and the agent went and bought tickets for them on that Turkish merchant boat and gave a deposit of 1 golden dinar. In the interim, many ships from England were arriving to Akko also, and the city became more and more terrified, panicky. People were panicking because they understood that war is about to break out. And there was tremendous pressure in the city because the city, Akko, is a small city. It couldn't even accommodate just the number of people there. Forget the fact that there are people from both sides, Turkish and English, who are about to have a war. And all the people that were staying in the house that Rabbeinu Zal was in were terrified. And yet Rabbeinu Zal and the person that were with him felt calm over the fact that they had tickets on a boat to leave right after Shabbos. However, even they were very concerned about the fact that they hadn't prepared any food or drink to take with them on this boat, because all of this happened very quickly on Shabbos. And they realized, they remembered that when they were coming from Ukraine, Teretz Yisrael, they had food and drink for 4 or 5 months, as people in those days who set out on a journey by boat knew they had to be prepared for that. And now they had nothing, zero. On Sunday morning, Rabbeinu Zal sent the person who was with him to go with the agent to buy some food to take with them on the boat, and they found nothing in the marketplace. They couldn't buy anything. And they came back, the agent and the person with Rabbeinu Zal returned. Rabbeinu Zal was standing at the time in talis and tefillin and didn't say anything. The person who was with him lay down from panic and fear. Rabbeinu Zal didn't know that he was in the house at the time, and suddenly a tremendous commotion broke out because the Turkish Sultan had given a command that he's giving the people 2 hours. Whoever doesn't know, whoever isn't battle ready, whoever isn't a soldier that can fight, should get out by sea. Because there was no other exit from the city that was open. The only way to get out was via the sea. And anyone who's found in the city after 2 hours is going to be slaughtered. Because the Turks wanted to make room. They needed room, in order that there shouldn't be so much pressure just from having so many people in the city at the time. So therefore, they were prepared to murder, to massacre the people that were there, to make room to alleviate the pressure. So you could imagine the commotion that was going on there, panic and fear and terror. And during all of that commotion, Rabbeinu Zal escaped to sea, and the person that was with him was deep asleep. Now this person wakes up, sees Rabbeinu Zal's no longer in the house, and waited. He waited thinking Rabbeinu Zal's going to come back. Then he went into the courtyard and saw people screaming and crying bitterly. And the mistress of the house, when she saw him, She came to him and said to him, I'm very worried about you, about your youth, because you're going to get killed here if you stick around. We at least had some benefit from here. We lived here. We had some benefit from this city. So we have to take the good with the bad. But you, it's a rachmanis on you, because you're going to get killed here and you don't even live here. And now he really got terrified, mamish to the point where his fingers were numb from fear. So he asked her, where's Rabbeinu Zal that was here? So she said, I think he left by sea. And when he heard this, he wanted to grab the box, the safe that they had with them that had their money and possessions, but he couldn't handle it by himself. Hashem sent him a person, a local person, who was willing to help him, and the person took the box and they ran to the sea. And Rav Nilson Zal writes that because of the chaos that was going on, people were rushing through the streets, soldiers with swords and everything. It was almost like people were able to get stabbed in the street just because of the pushing and everything. But fortunately, Hashem made it that at that moment, some of the Turks went up on the wall of the city to make some kind of an announcement of good news. And because many people tried to gather close to hear what they were saying, it vacated a little space there so that this person who was with Rabbeinu Zal was able to run through the city to get to the sea, where he wanted to get to. Now he gets to the sea and he sees many boats and he doesn't see Rabbeinu Zal. He doesn't know which boat he's on. So he starts searching from one boat to the next until he discovers Rabbeinu Zal sitting on a boat. And the boat is full of Turks. And Rabbeinu Zal sitting in the middle of all of these Turks, can't speak their language, dressed totally differently. And when Rabbeinu Zal and this person who was traveling with him, when they finally got together, they were both thrilled because both of them were suffering tremendously from the fact that they had lost each other. So first they were sitting on a small boat that's called a barkas, which is a boat that can go all the way up to the shore. And afterwards, that boat took them out to the large boat, which is further out at sea, which is called an okrent, which was near Haifa. And they saw that the boat is surrounded with cannons, on all around the circumference of the boat, cannons. So they thought, strange, a merchant boat or a tourist boat with cannons all around it. But they figured, who knows, maybe because of the war, this, that, maybe on merchant ships also they put these cannons. Whereas in actuality, this was a battleship that they had gotten onto, which obviously meant that it was extremely dangerous for them to be there with all of these Turkish soldiers, because these Turks, under normal circumstances, don't behave like human beings, don't show great love for Jews. Here they're going out to war, battleship, with all of these soldiers. When they got onto the boat, because of all the commotion and everything, Rabbeinu Zal didn't notice to try to choose which boat to get on, the boat that they had tickets for, that they had bought tickets. He just tried to get on to whatever boat would take them out to sea. And now they discover that they're on a Turkish battleship with cannons that's in the thick of the war, in the thick of the battle. So now these Turks took them, brought them into the battleship, gave them a private room, and gave the person that was with Rabbeinu Zal a loaded gun. And Rabbeinu Zal and the person with him couldn't talk to them because they didn't speak Turkish. They had no way of communicating with these people. And then after 2 or 3 hours into the night, they locked the door to their room and lay down to sleep, not having eaten anything because they didn't have what to eat. In all of this rushing and running, there was no chance to prepare food or anything. After an hour or two, somebody opened the door and spoke to them in a European language, which was strange. Everybody on the boat is Turkish. He spoke to them in Russian or something like that and asked them, what are you doing here? This is a battleship. You're going to get killed here. Don't you see that the ship has cannons all around it? So they woke up and tried to be able to talk to him, to be able to find out what to do or anything, but they couldn't. So they tried asking him if he can help them get off the boat and get back to the shore of Eretz Yisrael, because they realized in what danger their lives were in, because they started hearing cannonballs falling close to the boat that they were on. So they thought better to remain in Eretz Yisrael so that their bones at least will remain in Eretz Yisrael if they get killed there and buried there, because they saw that there's very little chance of coming out of this situation alive. So this person said to them, they'll have to give a sum of money in order for the captain to allow them off this boat and let them be able to get back to shore. And he said he's going to go to the captain to talk to him. So the person with Rabbeinu Zal went to open the box that had the money in it, and somehow he procrastinated a little bit, and then went to the captain, and he put out his hand to hand the captain money, thinking that this person who had spoken to him had already talked to the captain about their situation. But the captain started yelling at him, and the captain wouldn't listen to anything he had to say. So then they started looking around the boat to find this person who had spoken to them, and searched, couldn't find anybody at all that spoke Russian. Only Turkish. Turks and Arabs. And then they got really, really terrified, to the point where they couldn't even lay down to sleep. They were trembling from fear, because they realized that this is a battleship and their lives are in danger. And they couldn't figure out who is this person who spoke to them in Russian and informed them, enlightened them that they're on a battleship.